All right, so we're back, niggas, you know.
Oh, shit.
Welcome.
The summer solstice edition of Black Joy Mixtape.
It's a whole new sky up there, man.
We told y'all we are booked and busy, and goddamn, it looked like we just gonna give y'all an episode once a month.
Yeah. We tried our best. We're doing the best we can, you know. We still got this second show going on.
Yeah, updates. I've been married 3 times this summer already.
Jasmine keeps going to the club and finding Nigerian husbands. I'm still letting go of old people, as you all know, but I've let go. It's a new summer solstice, you know. New things are in the air, abundance.
I feel like, you know, the experience within the last month, I got a relationship help guide for you niggas. I mean, if y'all willing to listen to Steve Harvey, I know I got some tips.
Shit,
for
why doesn't everybody just give advice, you know?
Sis, in this political climate, if you're going to waste your time, at least get a citizenship in another brown, black-ass
absolutely
country.
Absolutely. Yeah. New restaurant locations.
You know.
New experiences. All that stuff.
No, up the ante. Definitely get another bank account.
Yes.
Definitely get
without
tips.
Your money in it. You know?
Yeah. Somebody else is contributing. Somebody else is contributing to your fund.
Absolutely.
Yes.
For the upkeep that is the summer. Like, these nails and feet and hair and hair
removal. Yeah. Minimum requirement is $250 at least.
Yeah.
You know, we need more than that.
You know, get you some goddamn, make sure you got some Palo Santo on you.
Yes.
You know, keep all the bad energy away from you.
And
make
the
sure
good energy
staying
coming
hydrated.
In. Yeah.
Make sure you got a little SPF.
Mm-hmm. You know, I have really, my new thing is I feel like black women adults should add a SPF, a little sunscreen to their skincare regimen, you know?
Yeah.
Black don't crack, but you can keep it glowy. You know what I mean?
Yep. Even coconut oil got a little SPF in it, don't it?
I don't trust that.
It
I
is.
Feel like we literally setting ourselves up to
it totally
be sizzled. Nah, that's
it
not.
It totally does.
No.
I swear. I mean, it ain't enough.
If you
want to
be extra, if you want to be like a pancake, like extra crispy on the edges, I feel like coconut oil does that.
That's definitely
just y'all. Problem. Don't let all things white people need deter you from what you might want for your skin health.
I'm not deterring people from sunscreen. I'm just saying that your coconut oil got a little something in there for you,
like,
just in case you don't make it to the stove.
Yes. This is Amber J. Phillips, the High Priestess of Black Joy.
And this is Jazz, the King of the South.
And you are listening to
the Black Joy Mixtape. And what it do?
Gang.
She been down with me forever. She ain't never crossed me, always wipe my tears when niggas fuck up. She my Cody, she my day one.
Alright, so we're here. As you all can hear, there's a new little chuckle on the mic this week.
You know, Morgan is, you know, just days away from coming back from his whirlwind and the podcast streaks, getting married.
He got married, yes.
So we should be plugged up into the studio at any moment now.
Yes. We gotta let our nigga live his life. He gotta live his life.
Studio. Amber goddamn went to the wedding living her best goddamn Sound of Music rendition. She had a weekend at Asheville, North Carolina.
Whoa, bitch, yo. Don't give me a mountain. I saw a whole ass shooting star because I was at I was so through. I was like doo-wop in the lagoon, bitch.
Oh shit.
It's a star, nigga.
Oh shit.
God damn.
Let me get my wish.
But the great thing about it is I saw the shooting star right as our high asses was talking about, like, our ancestors had to be looking at these stars. They had to be laying out just beautiful. It's so beautiful out here. They had to love it. Mm-hmm. And then literally seconds later, it was like, pew. Yes, beloveds. We do love the stars.
I mean, you gotta love the motherfucker that's gonna get you the freedom.
Exactly.
You gotta love the fuck out of the map. The plug and the map.
This is the map,
two things that really get you through.
Yeah, so I listen.
Generationally.
Absolutely. So I listened to Everything Is Love for the first time while in the mountains. It was great. It was wonderful.
The hills are
love. Always. The hills
but
are certainly.
The son of Beyonce
and her husband
that we didn't
was
ask
still
for.
Apologize. apologizing. But yes, we want to welcome to the mic just a dear friend of the Black Joy Mixtape. Also, this, again, I always appreciate the niggas who have known me since I've had a roller wrap and a relaxer and a chemical burn. Man. And this is one of those people.
Man, Amber keep bringing guests to confirm that she was here before the Black Joy Mixtape. I'm just waiting for one of my friends to show
come
up.
Come on, Jackson.
There was a time.
I'm y'all is welcome here whenever. All
there
right.
Were tall tees. And, yeah.
Andrew, you was wearing tall tees.
Oh, yes, gosh. Nigga. Everybody was wearing a tall tee.
Excuse me.
They were 5 for $25.
Collected the stickers, my friends. Put them on my student IDs when I was in high school. I was so happy to be a tall tea wearer.
Now the nigga got a law degree, you know? We've all...
And a tie.
And a tie. So, Andrew, tell us a little bit about yourselves.
Absolutely. Hello to the Black Joy Universe, and major shout out to the King of the South and the High Priestess. And so glad to be here. My name is Andrew Hairston. I have known Amber J. Phillips for about 13 years, which is pretty unbelievable.
Yes.
Have been a friend of the Black Joy Mixtape for a long time. I'm a lawyer here in D.C. I do racial justice work for a nonprofit organization, and just really glad to be here to chop it up with two of my favorite ladies.
And what Andrew has not told you is he is definitely the one that you take to a ill-ass brunch.
Yeah.
Because he got some type of candy in his pocket. So mid-brunch, you could be looking like Beyonce on the sidelines of your favorite LeBron James basketball game.
Andrew does show up to the brunch function like low-key lit his face.
Here,
and what happened? Like all of a sudden, yeah. Like, you're wondering, wait a minute.
Auntie,
did I intend to get this high?
No. That's that Howard shit. Also, shout out to Andrew,
yes,
HU.
Howard University in the house, class mm-hmm. of 2013.
What's up?
Yes.
HU.
You know.
We ain't go there.
Really not.
Y'all came with my ass.
So, Andrew is here. He is also going to be our official Black Joy SCOTUS correspondent.
I'm so honored.
Yes.
And so pumped up after this whirlwind shit show week.
Yes, so he is the lit friend at the bunches, as well as can break down what these lawyer briefs are doing and all this other shit that we need to understand. So we're going to go ahead and hop into, you know, the segment that we love to hate and hate to love.
White people have no self-control.
God damn. God damn!
Gross.
Y'all should be ashamed of yourselves.
Oh my God. How are y'all standing near each other still?
Aren't y'all
break
like,
that shit up.
Go, just break it up. Quit your jobs. Set up a transition plan for a woke-ass person of color to come and just do whatever the fuck y'all thought y'all was doing.
No, everybody just break that shit up and y'all literally just go in separate directions.
Give us the money, though.
Yeah.
Give us the bag.
The U.S. Supreme Court has decided to go on a full-on anti-human rights rampage, and Court Justice Anthony Kennedy decided to be a coward and retire after what seems as the first of many blows to the safety and well-being of people who plan to do basic shit, like go to the doctor, vote, have privacy, or be anything other than an old hot dog water Nazi-adjacent white cis man. We present to you the Black Joy SCOTUS Watch with our friend Andrew, who is here to talk about the legal impact of these decisions, especially around immigration and voting violations that the U.S. is imposing. Andrew, I mentioned Anthony Kennedy, a fair-weather racist, announcing his retirement from Supreme Court. Andrew, what is the impact of such a ridiculous decision, especially in this political climate?
Well, Jasmine, what kills me, first of all, of today is a letter that he wrote to the president. I can't even give him that distinction, to 45. My dear Mr. President, he addresses it, right? Which goes to this idea of him being a fair weather racist, just like a number of these white people we have to interact with in these positions of power. What kills us and what is about to really stick about this retirement is that we're still reeling from the robbing that the Senate Republicans did of President Obama's Senate, Supreme Court, pick back in 2016, right? Merrick Garland nominated for the seat, never given a hearing before the Senate, and now we are dealing with these ramifications, one in the form of Neil Gorsuch, and two in the form of whomever is about to be selected to replace Anthony Kennedy.
Wait a minute, I just heard a name that sounds real white. Who is Gorsuch?
Neil Gorsuch, the man nominated and confirmed to the Associate Justice seat. It should have been Merrick Garland's.
Who was Barack Obama's pick.
Yes, was mm-hmm. Barack Obama's
pick. But they stole it, right?
Straight stole it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. How did they steal it?
Sat there for 14 months, right? Did nothing, right? The Constitution expressly puts forth that the Senate will advise and consent on the president's picks for the Supreme Court. And these Republicans did not hold a hearing for Merrick Garland. In, let's say, the 10 months that elapsed between the nomination of Merrick Garland and the inauguration of 45.
Straight unconstitutional.
Straight unconstitutional.
Hell yeah, illegal as fuck.
Yes. So now Neil Gorsuch, in this slew of decisions released in the past few weeks, has showed us who he is, who, of course, Donald Trump is, and has, as Jasmine said, started to pick away at these human rights protections that have been put in place by the Supreme Court for years.
So you mean to tell me that one seat has been stolen,
yes,
and then Anthony Kennedy, who just feeling the good or whatever,
he's
the fuck
tired,
in his spirit,
bitch.
just gifted Trump another.
Just gave it to him,
pick,
on a silver
right?
player. My dear Mr. President, here is my seat on a silver platter. Yes.
I just don't feel like anybody. I mean, if Ruth Bader Ginsburg can still be out here kicking, I don't understand.
Looking all disgruntled.
Man.
Come on now.
Like she want a nap too? Shit.
Is this our queen for real? I swear.
Yes, our saving grace. I just feel like I was taught that the Supreme Court justice position was a lifetime position.
Yes.
Meaning that your ass is supposed to die there. Okay.
Right.
But
man, what's her name?
Ruth Bader. Sotomayor.
Yeah.
Poe Sotomayor. She got to just sit up here with these ridiculous ass, microaggressive ass motherfuckers.
Ooh.
Just, I hope she got an ill ass self care plan.
Man,
this ain't going to do her
I
no
hope
good.
She only come to work on Wednesdays and Thursdays to review what the fuck y'all got going on.
She needs to just go ahead and cuss everybody out in her decision. Just quit fucking around.
Just making one pagers from now on. I dissent.
You niggas
that racist. How in the fuck? Man, don't let me. I just don't understand how white people don't have any type of resistance about them right now.
Seriously.
Like, what would it have meant for you to just stay? We don't know why he's retiring, but it's like you're about to retire. You don't want to use your last few years on the Supreme Court to actually do something that will kind of keep this country at least intact a little bit longer until we get this asshole out of office.
Yeah.
Let's give y'all a rundown in the last couple weeks of why we are just really concerned about this retirement. All right, so first up, the Supreme Court ruled Tuesday that fake-ass crisis pregnancy centers established to coerce people into continuing their pregnancies can legally lie to, shame, and intentionally mislead people about the availability of state-offered health care services, including abortion. If you don't know, there are fake-ass centers posing as healthcare clinics that call themselves crisis pregnancy centers in order to trick people into entering these facilities by masquerading themselves as full-service women's healthcare clinic.
These centers, sometimes in your hometowns, it will look like a billboard saying, need a pregnancy test. Those are exactly the type of fake centers that you don't want to go to explore your options, because they are oftentimes ran by churches, they're ran by super religious people who actually want to shame you into not exploring the full range of your options. Additionally, they aren't doctors. So they can't even provide you with all the information you need in order to make a healthy decision about your pregnancy and your healthcare.
Yep. And pregnancies have all types of conclusions, right? It doesn't have to always mean that you go to term. And these people can now legally just not tell you all the options that there are. Some crisis pregnancy centers, I really hate that I have to call them these, but just for you all's safety, I am using the correct terminology. Some even claim to provide abortion care to get people in the door and then use lies and manipulation to try to dissuade them from considering abortion. Yeah. Y'all, so first, the Supreme Court just gave these facilities posing as members of the mainstream medical community legitimacy with this ruling. Then second, this entity can legally force people into reproductive health decisions that will not be resourced or supported by the lying-ass people who have the audacity to scam people into their stigma, hate-filled belief system. Please, I encourage you and your loved ones, your community, to visit abortionfunds.org to find the contact information for abortion funds in your community who can connect you to not only the resources to financially and emotionally support you in whatever decision you make, and connect you to a credible clinic, abortion clinic in your state.
Damn, all right, shame.
So next up. In a 5-4 vote, the court's conservatives said that the president's power to be racist can continue so that it can endanger the lives of millions of Muslim people, thereby perpetuating the very racist and eugenicist notion that Muslim people pose a threat to the U.S. borders. Chief Justice John G. Roberts Jr. said that Mr. Trump had ample statutory authority to make national security judgments in the realm of immigration. This is in addition to, by January 2020, the Trump administration would have turned 400,000 people who are currently in the U.S. legally into unauthorized immigrants. The administration announced in May that it is going to stop granting temporary protected status, a protection given to people in the wake of humanitarian disasters in their home countries. This includes 57,000 Hondurans who've been living in the U.S. for 20 years and 50,000 Haitian people who came here for refuge after the 2010 earthquake. Okay. So, Andrew, we're talking about crisis pregnancy centers or fake-ass places posing as reputable healthcare facilities and the ban of huge populations of Black and brown people. How are these two things deeply connected and a danger to the imagined foundational U.S. principle of the separation of church and state, the shit that had these crackers dumping their tea into harbors and fighting their cracker cousins across the pond?
Yes, how does that relate? Leading question, bitch. This is a biased podcast,
Oh, somebody gotta be shitting on. Like, shit is getting real. We're talking about extermination. All the gloves are off.
Yes. Right. Call that shit a spade, because I see a spade.
And goddamn, they're gonna start calling you spades in the damn media at any moment, and it's gonna be somebody in the middle saying it's okay. But yes, Andrew, go on.
Please.
Both of the decisions that Jasmine referenced implicate the First Amendment and were partially decided on those grounds, which kills me, right? On one hand, you have these fake crisis pregnancy centers, and the court has endorsed that they can just use misinformation and lies to steer young women and people away from the contraceptive care that they deserve and want. Then, on the other side, you have this racist Muslim ban that is endorsed by the court, citing these national security concerns that Jasmine just expressed. But clearly goes toward this establishment of a government religion, right? Violation of the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment. It's like, how do you reconcile these two things? Like, okay, you folks over here running these fake crisis pregnancy centers, your First Amendment rights are protected, right? You can, you know, lie and mislead these young women and people. And then, oh, we say that we don't really want to establish a state religion, but we're not going to let Muslim people into our borders because the president says that it's a national security concern. What I love, though, in these cases, right, these dissents, the four more liberal judges and justices of the court not letting up, especially Sotomayor in the Muslim ban case, like actually repeating back statements made by the president, written by the president, like, we want a total and complete shutdown of Muslims coming into the United States. This is your religious and racial animus right here. You can find it in a tweet. You can find it in a press conference. Like, this stuff has tainted everything for the 3 years since he's been on this national stage as a candidate and now the president. And the hypocrisy is just unbelievable.
I also think that we're now able to have a decision to ban full groups of people from this country. Yes. Also because of cultural representations of Muslim people since 9/11. Mosques were being built, burned down. Everything on TV was describing these people as dangerous. Folks who happened to practice this religion were basically targeted for the harmful decisions of a few, as if our country doesn't also participate in terroristic acts. Now it seems as though it is, you know, people agree that treating Muslims and banning them from this country is awful. However, our representations around Muslim folks, how we treat Muslim folks in our community, has very much kind of stayed the same.
Absolutely.
And we have not pushed back against those representations that continue to see these people as dangerous.
Right.
To the point where even brown folks who are not Muslim are targets of this type of racism, from being at airports to doing normal things like walking down the street, right? So there's a lot of similarity between a Muslim ban and black folks, the treatment that we are also experiencing.
Certainly.
White supremacy does not give a fuck about telling the difference between these between us and them, and which is why we need to fight this collectively.
These are black issues.
Yes.
Crisis pregnancy centers as well as Muslim bans are black issues.
Say
y'all
again.
Please, I beg you all, if you find yourself on the fence around whether or not you are anti-choice versus pro-justice, I want to let you know this right now, that if we are out here legitimizing the places we frequent for our health care to allow them to purposefully withhold information,
right,
we are going back into a time where they can sterilize you legally. We are moving back into a time where they can inject you with syphilis. Do you understand? Like, this is a very slippery slope, and a slope that we have already been down. And also, Muslim people, like, the reality is they look just like us.
Yeah.
Hondurans look just like us.
Yeah.
Haitian people look just like us. And really, if we want to be real, we want to keep it 100 around the citizenship status of Black American people, that shit ain't guaranteed either.
Right. Yeah. Lots of our great aunties and grandmas can't even find their birth certificates.
Wow.
Just birthdays written in Bibles.
Right, right.
The Supreme Court on Monday ruled on two highly anticipated gerrymandering cases in Texas and North Carolina. This means that the most controversial maps in both states will likely be used in this fall's midterm elections. The court upheld three of four district maps in Texas that critics argued intentionally discriminated against minority voters, but struck down one. In North Carolina, it wiped away a lower court opinion that had invalidated congressional maps there as an unconstitutional partisan gerrymander. The decision on Monday marked yet another step by the Supreme Court on gerrymandering cases. Last week, the court punted on alleged gerrymandering in Wisconsin and Maryland, allowing the maps to stand. If voting rights weren't already in peril, the Supreme Court also decided to make it legal to purge disproportionately poor people of color from the registration rolls to vote. The U.S. Supreme Court also on Monday, Ohio's controversial use it or lose it voting law by a 5-4 margin. The law allows the state to strike voters from the registration rolls if they fail to return a mailed address confirmation form and don't vote for another 4 years or 2 federal election cycles. On Monday, the Supreme Court said Ohio is not stripping people of the right to vote solely because they failed to vote, but also because they didn't return their address confirmation form. Well, we know about people who get evicted in a lot of places, especially in these places where gentrification is happening. Most likely, a lot of people ain't getting their damn mail.
Right. So, y'all, here's how gerrymandering works. Basically, in the places where you live, there are districts that are drawn up. Historically, the way districts are drawn determines who votes in a particular district and who gets to run in that district. If the way your maps are drawn cuts out large portion of Black people, and not only it makes it harder for Black representation to win elections, which also makes it harder for certain ballot initiatives to pass that favor us. When a district is unfairly gerrymandered, this sets us up to not have as much representation as we deserve. Another form of like purging people from the voting rolls, yes. It's another form of disenfranchising communities of color and poor communities.
So it's a perfect framework and backdrop. All right. So one, we are 5 years from the infamous Shelby County, Alabama versus Holder decision decided on June 25th, 2013, that gutted Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act. There was a preclearance formula that a lot of states that had histories of racial discrimination had to follow. Essentially, when they wanted to change voting procedures, they had to appeal to D.C., to a 3-panel district court in D.C., to see if those changes were indeed valid.
Kind of setting up a check and balance, yes, for white people to keep Black folks from voting.
After all those grandfather clauses and jelly bean tests and poll taxes.
Counting bubbles and soap, bitch. And
soap, right.
They had to set up something.
Yeah.
Okay.
So 5 years later, we find ourselves in this moment, right, that Amber and Jasmine just described, where you have the gerrymandering process in full display. You have states like Ohio and Georgia purging folks left and right from their voter rolls. And you have this proliferation of voter suppression tactics post-Shelby because the Supreme Court has, in the past 5 years, consistently endorsed these practices, either explicitly or implicitly, right? Right. So all of this is kind of combining right now. You got Houston that Jasmine just mentioned with these voter purges taking place. Really unfortunate decision from the court. I'm hoping the advocates will stay diligent and hopefully plug into communities and let them know about this decision and its toxic effects. Then you have the gerrymandering process coming ahead of the 2018 midterms and the 2020 census.
And shocker.
I mean, they already been running numbers. They literally required voter ID in Alabama and then shut down the places to go get said
literally
IDs. So
yes. It wasn't enough, right? So if you overcome the hurdles, right, of not having the birth certificate, of somehow, you know, making it to the place where you can get your ID, you finally shut down, right? These are the diabolical tactics that we're seeing play out in this era. And so it requires so much vigilance, right? Mm-hmm. The voter purges, the gerrymandering, the voter ID laws popping up. It is really a systematic effort to quell the voices of Black and brown people at the polls. And we need to rise up and say, hell no, we're not going to be silenced, and fight like hell to make sure that our voices are heard in these elections.
So not only are they compromising our ability to vote, they are also slowly chipping away our constitutional rights to legal search and seizure. And a major decision, now this is a small win, but you will hear why this is awful.
Yeah.
In a major decision on privacy in the digital age, the Supreme Court ruled 5-4 that police must generally obtain a warrant to seize cell phone tower location records. Now, if y'all notice, that decision was narrow.
Yeah.
This suggests that warrant requirements might not apply in times of actual quote-unquote emergency, such as a national security or foreign affairs crisis, and did not disturb the regular use by police of at least some electronic surveillance devices, such as security cameras. Now, we just told y'all that the Supreme Court in their ruling just said that Donald Trump has the power to, quote unquote, protect our borders by any means, basically. Mm. Let that sink in. So not only are we legalizing the right to misinform our people, we are legitimizing the right to not allow our people to vote. And now there's the possibility of our people being subject to even more illegal search and seizure.
What kills me about this case, right, I'm being killed left and right these past few weeks. So I argued this case in law school for a mock trial competition during my last semester of law school. And the case fascinated me because I had heard about cell site location information before I did this moot court program.
Uh-huh.
But essentially, as we're sitting here, the three of us in this room, our cell information is being transmitted to a tower, whether we're using our cell phones actively or not, to say that we are where we are here in D.C., right? This stuff is, like, so widespread.
Yeah.
And as long as your cell phone is on, right, it's transmitting this maybe every several hundred feet that you go. And this information is being collected by Verizon, T-Mobile, AT&T, right? Now, the narrow win was a good one, like Jasmine said, that the court recognizes that there generally is a warrant requirement and that this is a search, but the emergency or exigency exception is something that has broad latitude, and who gets to define the emergency, right? These folks in power.
Congress.
Yes.
That's how we got the Patriot Act.
Yes. Yeah. And don't get it twisted, too. Local police agencies are already setting up things called stingrays, which pretends to be a cell phone tower that your cell phone can also bounce off of to survey your ass anyway. So when we talk about this Facebook debacle of our security, like, our data is being breached on multiple levels, and weak-ass Supreme Court decisions like this is not helping us, especially as, again, culture in the media is telling folks that we are dangerous. Black organizers are dangerous. Muslim people are dangerous. And if they see us as a threat to national security, they are going to be allowed to do what the fuck they want anyway.
And we conclude this segment of the Black Joy SCOTUS Watch to really say fuck you to Court Justice Anthony Kennedy for his
quit
to democracy.
Cowardice.
You are a coward, and you will be the reason that all of this shit goes to hell. Hell, maybe you were part of the diabolical plan. I don't know. So
it probably was.
There is no reason. Again, Roof is still out here, nigga.
All right, so let's move to the segment where we can actually do something, I guess.
Right. We got access to these niggas to beat their ass or something.
Nigga, you got a Twitter handle, you gonna get these goddamn disrespects.
So moving right along.
I got a lot to be mad about.
Yes. Shout out, special shout out, and thank yous to our Black Joy SCOTUS correspondent, Andrew Harrison.
Love y'all so
much. Attorney at law.
Put some respect on it.
All right, Andrew, you got to sit down and be quiet. So next segment.
No, we can't allow black men, cis black men, to be talking too much. Now we let a cis black man on here, y'all. So, Cool Color Colorblind Collective.
We ain't got it.
Yes. So we're pledging an entire line this week, friends. This week's inductees pretty much feature a list of black men who continue to play themselves by trying to play the Queen Mother Monique.
Man, I can't believe this is what we have to do with our time.
Okay, so first up, we have Jamie Foxx, fresh off of his dry-ass, boring hosting gig with the BET Awards. Instead of minding his business, his set included making light of Monique's crusade to shed light on the very real pay inequality impacting Black women in Hollywood. Instead of, throwing support behind his Black comedic peer and the first Black woman to ever host the BET Awards, he reduced Monique's public battle with Massage Noir to a beef with Oprah. So he got on stage and stated, "We all love Oprah, but we're scared of Monique," after making several jokes about her, mocking her, so on and so forth. And rumor has it that Jamie is trying to make his return to comedy by going on a stand-up tour. "I hope the audience is empty and that he is also offered peanut shells and pickle juice from every streaming service that he pitches to."
And I just find it real interesting that he is talking about the appearance, sound, the quote-unquote threat of Monique while going home to that flat booty white woman plain as shit, Katie Holmes, who was with the goddamn nigga in Scientology all this time, her weird ass.
Yeah.
Like, don't you dare your anti-Black woman ass. Like, you have shown who you are, and I just want to let you know that everything you touch will crumble from here on out, especially if you disrespect Amoni.
I just don't understand why they don't see themselves in her battle, because literally, Jamie, if you're going back into comedy, you're going to face the same racism that Monique is facing. You are not Dave Chappelle, bitch.
Not making nearly what Bruce Willis is, I'm sure.
Not at all. So next up, we have Dame Dash and Lee Daniels. Yes, Dame will be joining Lee in the collective.
Despite
being out $2 million. Why? Well, before Dame ran up on Lee during a Diana Ross concert,
proving that he is the supreme,
demanding to be paid back the $2 million he lent Daniels to make the movie Precious, that ended up grossing $63 million.
This is the same movie that Monique only made $50,000 to make, as well as wasn't paid for doing promotion around the world,
but made $63 million, okay? We've heard zero support for Monique from Dame, as she consistently told us that Lee Daniels was an awful business partner with no morals.
That's liquid capital I don't have in 10 years.
Yeah.
You're wrong, brother.
I know I'm wrong.
In this frock.
Right. In this draping at the Diana Ross concert, bitch. Diana Ross is in the background like, "I broke my leg." Y'all the kids. Ooh, anyway.
Everybody's
kids. So this is such a clear-cut example, you all, of how people who are willing to harm and mistreat Black women are more than willing to harm other people in our community as well, regardless of their gender. Lee Daniels is bad for the culture and the community. Wherever there's smoke, there will soon be fire. And Monique told you the smoke was there. All right?
All right. So I need to bring my pressure down. Can we please move to Black women?
Yes, God. Done with them niggas. We are now in Black women dugouts. All right? So this week was every week is a really good week for us. Hell but, yeah. You know, there's some special shout outs that have to happen. This week, we are awarding Black Women the God Thrones to the little Black girl selling water.
In her neighborhood.
Outside of her house. As well as our Auntie Maxine Waters.
Who's gotten it, what, 3 times now? So many times.
Just keep giving it to her, since she out here the only one doing the heavy lifting.
Right.
So there was a white woman named Allison Edel, known on the internet as Permit Patty. All right. She was caught on camera calling the cops on the 8-year-old daughter of Aaron Austin for selling bottles of water in front of their home. So I'm so pleased that Black people are turning their cameras on these white people who are acting like racist first responders to harm Black people they feel uncomfortable around, when these people should actually just go for a fucking walk and mind their business.
And I just want to just point out that a Black mother was with her child and a white person decided to call the police as if this person was not a credible guardian for this child.
Sounds like the separation of families. Sounds real familiar.
Yeah, because they keep putting our little kids in handcuffs. They've arrested six-year-olds at schools and all types of
things. And even as we talk about this immigration debate, which we should, you all should also know that there are children being locked up across this country as young as 10 years old.
That is terrorism.
At its best. Literally get snatching our babies up over what?
Back to Black women and guys, girl.
Anyway, also this week, while Maxine Waters continues to do the heavy lifting in the Democratic Party when it comes to resisting Trump, Nancy Pelosi is showing her true colors by aligning with the 53% of white women who also sided with Trump during the election. Maxine Waters, as she should have, said to a crowd of supporters to show up wherever we have to show up to make sure that elected officials are made to feel as uncomfortable as immigrant families and communities of color who are being disproportionately attacked by the Republican Party's racist and xenophobic policies. Conservative Nancy Pelosi took to Twitter to condemn Maxine Waters' comments, calling them unacceptable, and that we need to make America beautiful again. This is what our Democratic leaders are saying on their platforms. They are remixing the racist call to action that we are fighting daily at this point to condemn the resistance of the only person we have actually seen in elected position stand up for anybody but their goddamn selves.
Nancy Pelosi done told y'all who she is. She keep talking about MS-13. She ain't got it for the LGBTQ kids. She ain't got shit for nobody nowhere but these conservatives and the 53% of white women who love them. Okay.
It's time to toss and cancel Nancy Pelosi.
Please.
She should not win any more elections. She should not be representing any more wannabe progressives. This is how she is going to continuously treat Maxine Waters.
One of y'all coders, please start a countdown for how many days we have left to get Nancy Pelosi the fuck on.
Please. So, Jasmine, and you know, as always, you are a Black woman and you are a God.
Oh, I am. You are too, Amber. I done seen that booty poking out during this summer.
I'm doing the best I can.
A lot of great spandex from you. Thank you. Locks right now are glorious. Just a God thing. You look dewy.
Thank you, Jasmine. And you know, I really appreciate just the amount of twerking content you are giving us. Mm-hmm. Crop tops and titties. Jasmine, I don't know if Jasmine wants to announce this to y'all yet, but she's well on her way to be the newest, latest IG honey of your dreams. Just look out. We don't know what's about to happen. Bitch is about to pop up in a music video, a Calvin Klein spread. I don't know. Just send your praises and blessings to Jasmine Walker. Bitch, let me tell y'all something. We went to go get Fin Tacos next door to my house. Let me tell y'all this story as I go to my seat. We went to go get tacos next to my house. All right. Kikiing, laughing, drinking Mexican Cokes. And this young white man behind us.
We good in the conversation. We've been sitting here for like 20
minutes.
We've
been sitting here for a break with Jasmine Burnett when she came and blessed our mic with that pussy eating tutorial. And this young white man comes up to Jasmine. He goes, hi, Jasmine Walker. Do you remember me? And it's like, it was one of her homies from
Ole Miss.
University
of Mississippi.
But the thing,
he been sitting at the table behind us this whole time.
Building up his courage to say something. Period, y'all. I could not make this shit up if I tried.
I thought it was the police. I thought it was over.
Girl, I was like, who's this white? You know I'm nosy. So if this is my first time seeing somebody who knows Jasmine's name in DC, I'm like, well, who you been hanging out with, girl? I don't know him. Hi. Yes, we are here. Literally a minute into the introduction, he goes, I knew that was you. I recognize you from my Instagram. Purely talking about Jasmine's fucking twerk videos.
If y'all don't follow me on Instagram, just know that my goal is to become an IG honey. I ain't even gonna lie to y'all. I ain't got no other aspirations but that right now. I mean, because shit, I gotta figure out how I'm gonna get the fuck out of here just like y'all do.
Shit.
And this seemed like the way.
I want, if it can be on a private plane, might as well be on a private plane. Y'all, I ain't never seen a white man talk to a black girl like that before. He was like, oh, I just wanted to, yeah, I do. I watch your IG stories. And I was cracking up because I literally had just got finished watching the twerk video of Jasmine's IG. She'll give you no lead in. She don't do no introductions like, hey, you're about to watch a twerk video provided by Jasmine Walker.
I should, though.
That would be great.
That's a great,
like, see, a Disney
why
intro.
You're digital, goddamn.
I am a digital strategist, bitch. You know, I know how to weave together a storyline. Okay. But you doing great, because the white men's is out here. I can only imagine who's watching that shit with one eye open as they partner asleep. You know what I mean? Like, because, you know, sometimes you see something on IG stories and you got to watch it without sound. There's a select few videos where you got to go back and be like, I need to watch that motherfucker with sound. What exactly was you twerking to, girl? Mm-hmm. So, anywho.
I see my analytics. I see y'all looping back. I ain't going to say who it is. It's okay. Your secret's safe with me.
Yeah, you know.
I just want to let y'all know now, though. Well, I'm going to use an I statement right here. Amber talking about white men, I just want to let y'all know I'm open to everybody across the gender spectrum as well as race. Whoever got a bag for me, I would gladly take it. You know, I just want you to know, ain't no super ally right here. You know, I do not discriminate, especially when it comes to that bag and that care. You know,
take care. If you can take care, you can get a lot of care taken up. Okay. Well, Jasmine, that's our show.
Yay.
You did an excellent job.
You, of course, did amazing.
Thanks.
One more time for the real one, Andrew.
Andrew, yes. And where can they follow you online, Andrew?
Andrew R. Hairston, HAIRSTON, across social media. So Instagram, Twitter, Facebook.
Follow him. He's a hoot. I love Andrew. You'll also see him make his appearances on my reality show that I'm running via Instagram stories.
Can't
as well.
Wait.
Don't forget, in these troubling times, the Black Joy mixtape is taking your money, especially from white people who should feel terrible about what they kin and friends are doing. You can make sure you pay black and brown people so that they can make sure that they can remain as safe as possible by giving us your money at paypal.me/blackjoy.
Ashe. And where can they find you online, Jasmine?
You can find me at Jazz On Your Mind on Twitter and Instagram. And where can they find you, Amber?
And I'm just Amber J. Phillips on Twitter and Instagram. Two L's. Not like the TV, the corporation. All right. Y'all should know this by now. You've been here a minute. Right. Yeah, I'm just talking shit.
And I'm also letting y'all know, please get out of my friend's DMs on some friend shit. And you better not have no girlfriend, you bitch.
Leave me alone, please. Please leave me alone if you're partnered. I'm so sick of you partnered motherfuckers. No, you cannot try this out. Anyway, this is Amber J. Phillips, the High Priestess of Black Joy.
And this is Jazz, the King of the South.
And you just listened to
the Black Joy mixtape. And what it do? I am in red form. I'm thinking of